Hello, Moana, my fellow exiles. Taka to try back here with another episode of the Still Sane podcast. Today's episode is with the legendary build creator and Path of Exile community member, Pox. He is well known for his Righteous Fire escapades on the Inquisitor, on the Chieftain, and as I learned in this podcast episode, the Berserker. This episode goes over feedback from the Path of Exile 2 Early Access launch, the current state of Path of Exile 1, his journey of Righteous Fire through the last 13 years, and much more. If you enjoy these episodes of the Still Sane podcast, make sure you subscribe to the channel, like the video, and leave a comment below and check out the other episodes of the podcast. They are on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and you can participate in the live chat on Twitch and YouTube. Now, without further ado, let's chat with Pox.
That's fine, man. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you, friend?
I'm doing really well. I was a little bit jaded leading up to this, but I think we're in a good place now. We read those new ascendancies that just were released by Grinding Gear Games for the new event.
That's true.
They look pretty cool, right?
I agree. I completely agree. They're like the fisherman, holy, the fish, like, no, what's his name actually? The surfer? What do they call him?
Is it the, oh gosh, we're going to, what is it, dude? I can't believe it. We forgot the name. It's the chill guy. I call it the chill guy ascendancy.
The chill guy. Yeah, close enough. He is literally like the chill guy. So that works.
Yeah. That's that event, man. Okay. I feel like that's the first thing we got to touch on, dude. First of all, thank you. Thank you for hopping on the pod. I forgot to thank you. I know we had to no reschedule problem. A little bit because I was freaking packed and we pushed it a little. So I know we're out of Path of Exile 2 honey phase and we're back into Path of Exile 1 right now, but it's just in time because one, some call you the savior of Path of Exile 1, dude. I mean, you started a private league that freaking filled faster than Gauntlet? I don't even know. People were just lining up to be in that league, man. How did that feel?
It was pretty good. Honestly, it was kind of random for me. It was not what I was expecting at all. What I initially planned, I called this ahead of time. I came back to PoE 1 a little bit before, I think, most people. And I started just a SSF run like normal, solo self-out, and play my Righteous Fire. And then people were like, can you host a private league, please? And I'm like, but I'm playing SSF right now. I don't really want to restart. And it actually all started on a fusing gamble. I said, if I don't six link my body with these 100 fusings, we'll do a private league. Or I said, we don't do a private league. Moral of the story is it didn't six link, ended up on a two link. And then I didn't feel like mapping on a two link. So I said, if GDG announces a delay, then we'll host a private league. They announced a delay, hosted the private league, and it just spread like wildfire. I did nothing. All I did was just wanted to host a private league with some buddies.
Yeah, dude, I watched that video. It was like a sad day for Path of Exile 1 players. And I know at the end of it, you're like, maybe we'll do a private league. We'll see if we're going to do that, right? And then it just popped off. I saw everybody leaping into it. Obviously, GGG gave another 10,000 slots. There were like 30,000 people at max.
Or they gave another, I think, 5,000 after as well.
5,000?
Or another 10,000. I forgot. Let me see how much we're up
to. That's so cool, man. That's cool. It showed. I won't give, everyone who hopped into the league and yourself the credit, but obviously it showed that there is a severe hunger for Path of Exile 1 because when they released that video saying, okay, all in on PoE 2 right now, no events, no expansion work right now, people were a little heated, a little upset. I respected your view, most of all, honestly, man. I feel like that was the right view to take. Like, this sucks. I'm still going to play the game. Like, I'm going to play when it comes out, whatever. And right now I'm enjoying PoE 1, so I'm going to play PoE 1. I love that view. But that event, I feel like that's the reason that Legacy of Freesia is happening. Seriously.
I think that it definitely gave them the push that they needed where, like, I kind of have this, I don't know the business side of how everything works, but the only thing I can imagine is when they hosted their Necro Settlers event that did not have very good, there's a lot of reasons why the gumball currency, when they do these hourly rotation things, it's just not good because if you don't play during the fun hour, then you're like, well, what is the point of playing the event? And because of that, I think if they just looked at the statistics, people didn't really like they joined in and then they just immediately stopped. It didn't have any longevity to it. And I think, unfortunately, if they just went off of those numbers, they said, well, why would we randomly host an event midway through nothing? So I think just by looking at the numbers, just a pure opinion here, I have no actual idea. That's the reason why they said PoE 1 is going to be neglected. And then, you know, I just happened to be in the right spot. I hosted a private league and a bunch of people were like, this is just what we want. We just want to play PoE again. We just want a fresh economy so we can just play the game again, even if we only play for 1 week or 2 weeks, some people 3 weeks. It's a lot of fun, right? Like getting that fresh economy start is just fun. I myself am mainly an SSF player, but I like playing Trade League for the first 1 or 2 weeks because, you know, you get all those tinks on your loot filter, right? If anyone's using an Eversync filter, you get the tinks. And then, you know, you load your filter the next day and there's less tinks. Why? Because it's economy based. So then all of a sudden this item doesn't tink anymore. And then a few more days go by and then there's barely any tinks, right? Then I get to go play SSF and I hear tinks all the time.
There you go. Now, I'm curious, what do you think is the appeal to so many people of Path of Exile 1, especially those people who tried Path of Exile 2, quickly bounced and said, it's not for me. I want Path of Exile 1 back. Do you think you can distill that down to something that's like singular, or there are just so many differences between the two games and their stages of life right now?
So, sorry, you're talking about like PoE 2 and PoE 1 right now, or just like players trying to get into PoE 1?
The former. So players who are like, I just want to go, I want to play Path of Exile 1, much like yourself. Like you played PoE 2, you enjoyed it, but you were like, not right now.
So like, yeah, I like PoE 2. And I think when we first started talking, you said a great thing. You said the honeymoon phase is now over, right? Mm-hmm. So I love PoE 2. I do. But the game needs some work. And to be fair, it's in early access. So as of now, it gets for me the pass until they remove that tag. And then, you know, then there's a very big thing for me. It definitely needs a lot of work in the end game department. I myself personally enjoyed the campaign the most. And then after the campaign, I was like, well, you know, I want to grind maps, but it's not fun. You know, I proc 10 breaches and I'm like, cool, but now I got to pick up all the loot. And then, you know, it's like, this is just, it's just frustrating, right? It comes down to it being really frustrating. And I think that since they're not taking a very aggressive balancing patch to that right now, it's a bit tricky, right? It's weird. So for me, I'm going to definitely check out the new league they're going to post and all of that. And that's like a big pivoting point, I guess, for me with how they're going to do it. But PoE 1 right now is in a state where you don't actually need new content. Like, we want new content, believe me, but we'll play it the way it is because the base game is really good. And it already has so much quality of life in it, even though it's lacking some. You know, you go clear a map and then you go to your hideout. And what do? You hold control and you just go, and you're 90% of your inventory is just stash affinity out. And the remaining 10%, if you wanted to, you just go on Filter Blade, spend 5 seconds, you know, just, okay, not 5 seconds, spend a few minutes, right? Filter out whatever it is you don't want. And then, like for me, if I just see an item on the floor I don't want, I just literally take it, copy it, go to Filter Blade, paste it, and then hide that section. And that's no longer in my inventory. So it has the tools for that. And PoE 2 did just recently get, maybe a few weeks ago, support with Filter Blade, but PoE 1 just feels complete, right? And playing early access games are fun, but they're fun in kind of like bursts. And PoE 1 is fun all the time for me, right? It just has that uniqueness to the character building, the progression through the campaign, how you go to slaying gods, the, you know, more defensive layers than skill tree nodes than other games have in general, right? Like, do you want block? You know, do you want to have recovery on block? Do you want to reduce damage, fortify, max res, spell suppression, reduce crit damage, life regen, turning damage into life regen, staggering damage becoming, it is crazy, right? You have so many avenues for player power. And when you go play PoE 2 after that honeymoon phase, you realize, you know, there's only so much you can do here, right? Like the core gameplay feels good, but I want more. And, 100%. You know, that's definitely that's like the early access trap sort of, right?
Yeah. No, what you're saying makes a ton of sense. And I think for build creators, people who really enjoy tinkering, not just with the skill trees and with the Atlas and items, Path of Exile 1, it's that game right now, bar none. Path of Exile 2 does not even come close. It's missing so much and the balance is whack. I mean, a lot of all attack-based builds are Herald builds right now. Right. Yeah. It's just, so Path of Exile 1 is that game. And then I've been debating this with my friends, and I want to see if you agree or disagree. They refuse to play Path of Exile 1. Obviously, I've been playing for like 6 years now. I love the game. I tried to get them into it so many times. Finally got them into Path of Exile 2, and now they have like quadrupled the number of hours I do in PoE 2. Yeah. And I was talking to them about 3.26 or Legacy of Freesia because I'm going to try it now. And I was like, hey, you guys want to give it a go? You want to try it out? Like, it's good. If you like PoE 2, I think you will like PoE 1. Yes, it's different, but I think you'll really like it. And the reason that they're giving for not wanting to try PoE 1 is because it doesn't look as like impactful. Like the gameplay doesn't look as fluid as PoE 2. And I'm trying to sell it in that avenue that you just said. The item system, all the skills, all the ascendancies are up, and it's just not grabbing them. Do you think there's a significant number of players who just, like, honestly, Pox, like myself, who, because I've never been that much of a buildsmith, right? I just like killing monsters and doing it in cool ways. And that's why I feel like I haven't burnt out on PoE 2 as fast, because I'm not doing all these minute changes to my build and trying out all this new stuff. I'm just like going in, killing monsters for like an hour, 2 hours, hopping out, and then doing that a few days later. Like, but people who are experimenting and trying to make some cool ass builds, they run out of content really fast, I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because like you said, it kind of boils down to, it's already been out for, I don't know, 2 months, and there just hasn't been a massive meta shift in an early access title that honestly needs it. And again, I know they're waiting to do that in their next expansion or their new league that they're doing, right? So that's definitely an issue, right? Especially for me, when you play, for example, an Invoker, you play like that side of the tree, the defensive layers actually feel complete, like it's there. You have, you know, you can go hybrid with ES and evasion. You can also take a node on Invoker to split it so it applies to your armor, which gives you some physical mitigation for mapping. You've got, I'm trying to remember here, Wind Dancer to scale your evasion, which feeds into your armor. You've got a Grim Feast that everyone knows about. We won't even talk about that one. Then you've also got, is it Ghost Dance? I forgot what they renamed it in PoE 2, where when you get hit, you replenish a portion of your energy shield based off of your evasion. And then if you're playing Invoker, you can also meditate. So in between boss attacks, you can premeditate and double your energy shield so you have Grim Feast in boss fights. And then you go play like another side of the tree and you're like, okay, what are my defensive layers? I don't have much, right? So 100%. If the whole part of the tree felt like that, the game would be in a much better state, would feel like you're in a much better state. Because you don't feel like you play Witch Hunter and you're like, oh, this bubble gives me, you know, 50% based off of 50% like Ellie absorption off of my evasion and armor. Okay, but I could just play ES evasion and then just have triple my effective life and then have a bubble on all the time while also evading. And like, I want to play that, but like the state of the armor situation is like, it doesn't feel justified to do that. So it's missing a lot on many aspects of the tree.
There you go. And it probably, not probably, it assuredly changes people's perception of the game too, depending on what side of the tree they start on or what class they play. I, for a fact, know quite a few people played Warrior, quit the game. And then I was like, just give it another go. Play like Ranger, actually play anything besides War. Just try anything out. And one of my friends was that and just got addicted to the game playing a monk. Loved it. You're so right. Like I think I'm spoiled because I played Invoker Monk. I did not do Ice Strike or anything. I did Tempest Flurry, which I made a mistake there. I really did. Ice Strike is the way to go. And I've just been enjoying myself massively. But I have so many different avenues of defense. And you can also scale armor with Invoker alongside your invasion, which is just stupid. Like I've got energy shield, evasion, armor. It's crazy. So max res or all res, not max res, but... Yeah, that class feels complete, but a lot of other stuff just feel missing or just broken in a bad way, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Or the good options feel broken in a good way, but still that's bad because there's like only a few broken things and they all kind of feel samey. So I totally get that. A lot of people want to go back to Path of Exile 1. And with this Legacy of Freesia event, I feel like Grinding Gear Games, even though what you said, the game is in a great spot, it doesn't need new content, I feel like they're giving build crafters content for months, not just 1 month. Like, this is crazy, these Ascendancy classes. I don't actually think you saw, because you talked about the Fisherman. About 10 minutes before we went live, they released another 4 Ascendancy classes.
Dude. I have not seen those at all, dude, no.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to pull them up, but man, I feel like they're just giving people content for a good 4, 5, 6 months. There's a Paladin in Path of Exile before there's a Paladin in Diablo 4.
Paladin, Paul. Okay, this is very interesting.
Dude.
All right.
Dude, one of them, somebody said it was the Pox Ascendancy. I think it was, oh man, was it the last one maybe? The Polytheist, I believe?
I don't even know how to say that, so that's probably the class I'll
Polytheist, play. People were critiquing the manner of which I speak, but all of them just seem crazy strong with all these different build possibilities. I'm like,
what is that?
Right?
There are some very cool things in here.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. They
grinding Rigor Aberrat's Fury? What? Burning Hoofprints? What?
Oh, we're getting the live reaction here. I know. Isn't that wild?
I see. You don't have to play RF. You can just play Devout of Aberrath, maybe. Like, and I mean, I have no idea. We'll have to see. But definitely some very cool things, yeah. This is what I wanted. I wanted something extreme, right? Something extreme so you just get a... You keep the same content, but you just get something different to explore it with.
Exactly. And that's the magic of Path of Exile 1. And they're doing the really cool thing that I don't think anybody expected. They're adding these as private league modifiers, so forevermore, people can just play with these 19 new ascendancies if they feel like it.
I really that idea. We were talking about that today earlier on the private league. They even said that they'll keep the idle system, assuming people like it, which was the big controversial one. You can have them separate. So when you do a private league, it doesn't have to be with the idols. It can be completely separate.
Right. So actually on that point, Pox, with the update that they gave where it's going to be semi-deterministic, where you get 50, basically every map boss either drops one or does, it's like 50% chance or something. So you're not getting idols or whatever, even though the rolls are random. What do you think on the whole system? Because obviously they're replacing the best end game system ever with this very random approach.
Yeah. So this is a big one. So there's two perspectives to look at. Okay. So let's look at both perspectives first. If you're addicted to the game and you play 8 hours a day and you have the whole Atlas tree memorized, and when I say Eater and you think top right and I say Exarch and you think top left, then you are addicted and you're okay with an Atlas shuffle, right? If you're not, then it definitely hits you a lot more because it's a lot harder for you to get off the ground, I would say, with the new system, because you can't just be like, oh, go here, right? Like you have to find it or trade for it. Now, with that being said, I was a little hesitant at first because one of my biggest concerns is what most new players come into, which is map sustain. So at the beginning, I said, you know, I really hope they tie it implicitly of some type to some of the relics. And they ended up doing that. They made an update recently. They did like an FAQ for it, where if you're using like the map drop one or the plus one map one, it inherently now comes with map drop chance. And this is very important because just being, you know, if your build is strong and you can go in a linear fashion straight to red maps, you want to be able to do that. You don't want to just be like, well, I'm stuck here because I can't do this. So hopefully that those idols are actually probably some of the more common ones would be the map ones, since they're not really league mechanic focused. The other issue I had was that without the loadout function, this would die instantly, because the problem is when it didn't have the loadout system, you're going to play Tetris and you're going to fit all your idols in the nice spot. It doesn't take long, you know, 5 minutes to do Tetris. But the thing about your Tetris is they're like hybrids. So maybe this one gives you, you know, a 15% chance a mob to be entrapped in an essence, and then also 3% chance to up tier your, you know, blight oils, right? Mm-hmm. So then you're tying them together, and you're tying multiple together, unless you're specifically trading and trying to buy them, which not everyone's going to do, right? So then the minute you want to switch to another Atlas, you would have to take all these idols out, put them somewhere, make sure they're in the correct spot, because these are all hybrid idols, right? And then you're going to try to get your other idols, put them in there. But then I guarantee you, you're going to forget something because, again, you have hybrid idols. So you don't remember exactly everything. I'm hoping the loadout feature comes in quick. They said they're going to aim for it. And I imagine it's literally just going to be a press of a button and it loads the second inventory. That makes this whole system much better because it's already tedious, I think, is the important term to use.
100%. And very, I know they said it's going to be incredibly powerful, where on the top end, it can be 3x as powerful as the modifiers that are on the tree because all this stuff is random. But man, SSF is going to be rough. Like you said, players who don't have everything memorized are going to have a tough time. And trade, it's even going to be leaned on even more in this league, probably. And so hopefully it's a high population league. It's going to be really interesting to see the player numbers. At least on Steam, right?
I was wondering if they would... I mean, this is all just food for thought, right? I was thinking of the relic system because they said when the relic drops, it's unmodifiable. So, you know, it drops magic, you identify it, it's got the PoE2 treatment, right?
Yep.
I was thinking, what if they split the relics and they make them by league mechanic? And then you can actually roll them. So that way, it's not that you can target farm them per se, but they can make them more rare. and make you use your currency on them, since you're going to keep it the whole time anyway, right?
Right.
Because now you have loadouts. I don't know if that's a better approach, but I'm thinking to myself, the only issue I could see is, you know, you're dropping when you're juicing probably like 5 to 10 of these a map. And that's another item you have to sift through every single map.
True.
It probably won't be as big of a deal, but these are just things I think of when you know, set up your stuff for like super, super end game, right? Because now what's going to happen is, like, when you're trying to juice, you're only going to pick up specific idols. Mm-hmm. You know, if it has a bad roll, you're going to pass it out. So you'd have to specifically filter for that. Versus with this one, you could be like, I only want item level 84 plus of all the league mechanics. And then you pick them up, and then that way you could craft them, or you could just sell that specifically versus searching an individual affix. Again, not sure if it's better. It's just like food for thought.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if they are going to iterate on the system too. It seems like they're open. Their communication shifted quite a bit after that video from Jonathan, where they're like very transparent about Path of Exile 1. They're giving updates like daily now for Path of Exile 1, and they're answering common questions and saying, yeah, we're open to feedback, we're open to change it. It's very curious to see how, like, I know we're speculating about the ins and outs of the company, but man, it's got to be so interesting they post that video and then 4 days later, complete shift on everything Path of Exile 1. I mean, if you're a Path of Exile 1 player and massive enjoyer, you are so freaking happy that this apparently is just the first of a few things to come, right? Because in that post, they reiterate. They reiterate, like, hey, this was only one, it's supposed to be 1 month. We have other ideas leading up to 3.26. Like, they're just going crazy. Like, they must be allowing those really passionate Path of Exile 1 devs to be like, this is my pipe dream. If we can make it happen in PoE 1, let's just do it. Let's just put it in and see what happens.
That has to be the case. Otherwise, I don't think they would have allowed this for private leagues as well. Like, they had to have just been like, you know what? Everything's on fire. Go do what you do best. Make the game fun. Like, go have fun, more importantly. Because, like, I think that's why I think to myself, this had to have been what happened, right? They made the video. You clearly tell Jonathan was not happy about it. Just trying to be blunt, explain it, you know, not try to sugarcoat. Just, you know, this is the issue. No one's working on PoE 1. I start up the private league. The whole community jumps in. Then they realize, like, oh, we're wrong. Like, people actually still want to play PoE 1. I don't think that they had, like, malicious intent here of the sense of, we're not going to host random events in PoE 1 because it will directly affect PoE 2, even though we're literally not even doing anything for PoE 2 because we can't even do anything until we push this update, because we specifically stated we're not making these massive game-changing updates until the new update. So why would you not want to host an event to just quell it for like a little bit, give yourself more time before you can release this?
Right.
That's why I'm thinking they must have had to just look at numbers of the previous event and said, oh, Necro Settlers was a bust. What's the point? That's the only, and that's like a big disconnection already if they're just looking at the numbers, but who knows what's going on over there, right?
100%. You know, Pox, you said something at the start. Maybe they should have taken the Glaze approach, and they should have been like, Path of Exile 1's so good, it doesn't even need content. So, you know,
I don't know if they should have done that. That's definitely.
They say that instead, you know, instead of saying, oh, you know, we're really sorry that PoE 1 isn't getting content, they just go bold, go big, and say, yeah, we're so confident in PoE 1, we're just going to leave it as it is for a little bit. That would have gone so well.
Yeah, that's definitely fuel to a fire for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I guess since we're on the topic of Path of Exile 1, obviously you're going to be playing this upcoming league or event, right? Are you going to play Righteous Fire on one of these new ascendancies?
So as of now, I haven't seen really these last four that were teased yet. There wasn't really one supporting RF very well. The only other one was like the Vol one. You could do like a Vol RF build, but like it's not the same thing as RF, because now you got to set up your Vol uptime, make sure it's actually like working correctly. If there's not a damage over time oriented ascendancy, I will definitely try something new. I think it's always fun to just try something new, especially in an event like this, you know, just play like one of the themes of the character. So we'll see.
Definitely. Now, for all of these Path of Exile 2 only viewers, of which I have quite a few, if you don't know Pox, he is the god of Righteous Fire in the Path of Exile community. He is ubiquitous with this skill in Path of Exile 1 that is basically a circle around your character that damages you while draining mana and damaging creatures around yourself. And so many people...
Doesn't drain mana. Sorry,
oh, I had to interrupt. Shit. Let me hide. Oh, God. I just messed up. It just drains life?
Yeah, it just drains life.
What version of it did I play? Now I got to correct myself.
So I think Arcane Righteous Fire might also drain mana. I don't remember. There is an alternate quality, but I don't play the alternate quality version.
Uh-oh. I got to cut that in post. I can't.
Okay, there's a circle called Mana Siphoner that drains your mana from enemies. So, you
That's
know.
What I was thinking of, Pox. Yeah.
Circles overlap, like, you know, Venn diagrams.
Right. See, you're saving me, man. Anyway, you have a website. You have dozens, if not maybe like 100 plus at this point, videos about Righteous Fire. And so many people love
easily.
I mean, your most popular video is a 5.5 hour stream highlight video with like 600,000 views of you just leveling Righteous Fire, which is crazy, man. The CPMs on that are probably insane.
So actually, it was not actually a stream highlight, believe it or not. So these, I do one take campaign run videos. So I click go, I explain, you know, like the basics of how to use the website, create the mule, explain the mule, open up the POB, explain how to go step by step through the POB, and then go through the whole campaign in one sitting. Sometimes I'll like use the restroom and stuff and come back, and I don't edit that. So I guess you could call it like a stream highlight.
Yeah.
But that's really about it. Like, it's just one take through the whole campaign. And I've been trying to do these every league. People are obsessed with them because, you know, you just timestamp them by act and people just, they just go through it. Because again, I explain everything, right? Like if I go through and my character hits a Dexocron, I'm like, oh, okay, dexterity issue. You want to make sure you're picking up your, you know, your jade amulets, your, what are they, the turquoise ones. You can take the 30 dex node over here on the tree, you know, make sure you can craft dexterity. It's a suffix. It takes an augmentation. And basically it's like jumpstarting yourself into PoE if you watch the videos.
Right. Why do people love Righteous Fire so much, Pox? What is it?
Honestly, there's a lot of factors here. So,
go for it.
Okay.
I need to know.
Let's see. So, okay, I guess we're not talking about the history. We'll just talk about why people like it, right?
Okay.
It's a build where no matter what's happening, right, whether you're experienced at the game or you're brand new, you have a buffer of life regen. I know that sounds dumb and doesn't make sense right away, but one of the biggest things that happen to people in PoE is they don't know what's happening, and then they die, right? Your computer lags, you can't leech, and then you die, right? You're playing a caster, you get stunned, and you die, right? You lose control of your character, don't know where your mouse cursor is, you die. With Righteous Fire, you always have this buffer, right? So even if you panic, and you start freaking out, and you're flying all over the screen, your shield charge, you still have this buffer that's regenning you. And I think builds of now I kind of are coming and leaning into the life regen mechanic since it's gotten buffed and buffed and buffed over time. But for a while, a lot of builds didn't use life regen. They primarily were like Vault Pact or Leech or very high ES values. And then they started introducing like Recoup and things like that. And then Sustain of other avenues kind of really kicked in, right? And like Slayer is unique, has like Overleech and stuff. But you know what you're getting into if you're playing that. And I think that once you pair that together with a skill that you don't need to aim, it just feels really good. On top of that, when I first started playing PoE and I was picking skills, you know, I'd pick a skill and I'd use it. And I'd be like, you know what? That has potential, right? It's not about how much damage it does. It's about the potential of the skill. And if you have a Ring of Fire that just grows and you can get the AoE up, and you get to the point where you disintegrate all the monsters that walk by, it's sick, right? Like, you just, mobs literally die when they try to attack you. Like, it's just, I don't know, it's a cool theme, right? It's fun. Also, people don't like dying, right? Like, it doesn't matter who you are. Just because you play softcore doesn't mean you like to die, right? Like, I played hardcore for 4 or 5 years, and then I stepped down, went to softcore and SSF. Doesn't mean I like to die. So that's why I made really tanky characters for softcore. Yeah. I play them exactly like I'm in hardcore. It's just, if I wake up and I want to be silly one day and go die in game, all right, I don't lose my character. It's okay, right? But I can still play that really tanky build. And I think that's just like it's a really fun type of character to play, right? It's not something you used to see. Now it's much more common across games. You know, circle damage over times are appearing everywhere.
Right.
It's spreading like wildfire. You know, we got garlic and vampire survivors and all the other things. So
yeah,
I think it fits the fantasy of the character really well, right? You play like the Marauder, you're the big bulky dude, but then you ascend to a chieftain, you got the fire portrait, and it's all, you know, just fiery themed, and the whole left side of the tree is red, and you're taking strength, which equals life, which is also red, and you're running Purity of Fire. I think it just all fits well, right? Like, it's a good theme for a character as well.
Yeah, that makes sense, and I was going to ask you before you mentioned Marauder and Chieftain, what has been your favorite variant of RF over the years? Is it the Inquisitor? Is it the Chieftain with the Hinakor explosions and everything?
That's a tough one. That's a real tough one.
I was curious.
So, I mean, this is more like, I think I have to talk about this in waves because that's how it works, right?
Okay.
I've been playing PoE for like 10, 11 years. Yeah. So more than that, maybe 13. So it started with my first one. Was it the first one? Hold on. Harbinger came after Breach, I think.
It's in.
Breach
yes.
League. Okay, good, perfect. Yep. So Breach League, I played my first RF character. I played Low Life, Righteous Fire, Guardian. 20,000 ES, was killing Shaper and Hardcore. Still managed to die to him, we won't talk about that.
Oh.
So, kill him a few times at least. He you know, like the Shaper Ball attack, he rolled a crit, so all three of them crit, and they have Cold Pen. Right. And it just, you know, the first one hit me and froze me. And I was like, when do you ever get frozen in this fight? But, you know, it crit me. So it froze and then I died. But I played Low Life RF Guardian. I really liked it. Yeah. I had a lot of fun. That's when, you know, you went Low Life with Chavrons. Mm-hmm. Except at the time, your RF AoE was so small. It was basically melee. Like, it was less range than default auto attack with Conk Effect.
Really?
It was really bad. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You only did that on boss fights. Normally, you would just run, like, regular. So, it, like, you know, it's kind of like a donut, but it was really bad back then.
I see how you got hit by the balls, Ben. Yeah.
Yeah. In the end, I died. So, balls to the face. Fox Coffee. That's what everyone called me. So, anyway, I really liked that character, but it was annoying to set up. You know, it wasn't a build where you can level with it. It was something where you really had to spec into stuff, get your Low Life swap, grab your purities, get your aura effect breakpoints, because it needed it, right? Like, you're playing a melee ES build that is going to get, you know, you're tanking everything. You have to have all these layers available to you. So when Harbinger League came out, I don't know if they changed ascendancies or I just caught wind of it. There's a new meta for RF. Not a lot of people played RF. This is like old stuff. My first level 100, RF Berserker.
Whoa, what?
RF Berserker, 12.5k HP. So Berserker had a skill or a passive that whenever you Warcry, you heal like 30% of your max health or something.
Oh, shoot.
So you literally just put like Enduring Cry, I think it was, on left click, and you just go base. And you just stacked massive HP. You get Aspect of Carnage. Like, it was crazy. It was an insane character. I would Vol Cyclone because we would do beachhead rotations in Hardcore. So when you get to the center, I would just Vol Cyclone because I have 12,500 HP. It's very unlikely my character is going to die, right? Very fun character. Then,
dude, and you're red? I mean, you're a Berserker. You're red as hell.
Red, you should do what I mean?
The no-close MTX, too. You know, the Marauder MTX.
They did not have that back then, but yeah, that would have been awesome.
Oh, that would have been so good.
So then we moved on to, I'm trying to remember, then it was like Low Life for a while, and I stopped because Low Life was just annoying to play for me. They nerfed the Berserker stuff. And then I believe I came back and started playing RF Inquisitor. Okay. And this was in like, I'm trying to remember, like Kalandra, Arc Nemesis era, somewhere around there. It was like a good year. Inquisitor got the upgrade to Pious Path, which made it apply to your energy shield.
Uh-huh.
So you could just have, I mean, you would walk around with 2,500 life regen, 2,500 ES regen with 10K effective life. And you're like, fight me, bro. Like, at that time, it was great. You're also fully ailment immune for just being on your consecrated ground. It was amazing. You had cool chase items like Replica Soul Tether, which gives you Corrupted Soul. So you start stacking a bunch of life, and then you get a bunch of flat ES. So then you take the armor ES nodes, and it was just wonderful to play. You had crazy endgame options like Aegis Aurora. So you'd be max block. You'd replenish a crap ton of ES. It would never go down. Then you get to go Melding of the Flesh. So now you're 90 all res on top of that with 10K effective life, with block cap, with Aegis. It was just amazing. Then they nerfed all of them. They nerfed Inquisitor, but more importantly, they took away the base damage of Righteous Fire. Now, before that happened, we also had a Juggernaut pivot. We had a Juggernaut pivot because they added Unbreakable. That's what it was. They added Unbreakable, which they then nerfed recently. And Unbreakable made it so a percentage of your armor, I think it was 8% of your armor, applies to elemental damage, which was crazy because it applied to spells and hits. So when you have a Juggernaut with 70,000 armor, with 85 all res, with 90 fire res, and then on top of that, you have physical damage taken as X element, so that the portion of your physical that has to go through the 80,000 armor and the 7 endurance charges gets converted to elemental, which then completely gets removed because of Unbreakable. And on top of that, you have Untiring, which turns that mitigated damage into life regen. You'd walk around with, you know, 15,000 life regen in maps. It was great. And then they nerfed Unbreakable. And when they nerfed Unbreakable, I was like, all right, it's not a Juggernaut anymore. It's time to accept Chieftain. Now, right. Juggernaut, like a lot of these other ascendancies, they can still work. It's just Chieftain now, which is where we are in current meta, fits the meta the best. And the reason why is when they took away base damage scaling and RF, for people who don't know, most spells, when you get like plus one to level of fire, you know, your Flame Blast goes up in damage. That's not how RF works. They removed the flat component, and now it just scales off your life. The problem with that is, you know, you finish the campaign, you got like 2,000 life, 3,000 life, maybe 4K. You're not going to go much past like, you know, 6K, you know, 7K if you're really pushing it. If you want to go higher, you're sacrificing so much to go to like 8,000, 9,000, 10,000. But the reality is you could just keep scaling gem level. So you could corrupt your RF from 20 to 21, and then you could put it with an empower and go to 24. And then you could put it in a plus two chest and it's 26. And then you get a plus two amulet and it's 28. You get a plus two weapon and it's level 30. And the base damage scaling from 20 to 30 was crazy. Like you'd get, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 times damage, somewhere around some crazy amount. They took all that away. So now you're like, okay, how do I scale it? Adorned. Then they nerfed Adorned, which is understandable because Adorned was very strong. You know, you stack fire multi and you stack life on all your jewels. So you're like, great, I get base damage, I get my multipliers, but then every single tree looks the same. Every build just has like three giant clusters and they path on the outside. But Chieftain still reigns supreme with this because you just need to do enough damage to trigger your Hinakora explosions to chain. And then you can just focus on being tanky and scaling your fire trap. And then later on, you drop fire trap. You don't even need it anymore because you have Hateful Accuser. So you can trigger your explodes on a boss fight. It just felt really good because that way you could kind of cop out on needing the giga expensive upgrades like plus two weapons with plus two amulets. And you just scale your explosion. So you want crazy amounts of damage over time multiplier, percent fire damage, which is infinitely easier and less expensive than plus gems, right? So Chieftain fits that really well. On top of this, it doubles down because he's got the ascendancy. So you have all enemies have minus 20 fire res. And this is important because it will completely eliminate map mods. You know, it doesn't matter if a mob gets 40 res from the map mod and is standing next to an Eli res rare aura while being possessed by a tormented spirit, giving him bonus, he has minus 20. And you don't need to stand still long in Path of Exile to kill something, especially if it's like a pack. So you just stand still for quite literally 0.2 of a second. And since RF is instant, it's permanent instantaneous damage, you just trigger that right away. So like if you shield charge through a pack of mobs on that, you know, quarter of a second when your shield charge ends and you click to move, you're standing still. So you trigger the, I think it's Ramako. I forgot exactly what it is, the minus 20. And then you can just trigger the explode. So Chieftain works really well in that department. He's just not as good for bossing because it's always better to scale minus res with things like flammability, scorch, elemental weakness, exposure, things like that will definitely pull bosses past minus 20. So it's a double-edged sword, but you just double down on what you're good at, which is mapping.
Dude, you just broke down 13 years of Righteous Fire build evolution into 10 minutes. Bad props, holy crap. I respect you massively. It sounds like Grinding Gear Games has continuously nerfed all the things that make RF powerful in various ways, and you just connive. You, anybody else building RF, connive a way to make it work and make it super powerful. And I bring up like the latest version, Chieftain. That's the only one that has really made my brain go, ooh, that's cool. I like the chain explosions it's doing. That's awesome, right? It's really cool looking. So that's what spurred the question. Excellent history, Pox. You avoided the question. of every era. What do you think? Would it be that first
what
one?
What is my favorite?
You're talking, I mean, the Berserker sounded mad cool, dude. Holy crap. I mean, what a wild
the Berserker is where it started. So it's hard. It's a tricky thing to answer because, like, if I played that character in the current stage of the game, it would not fit, right? But I'd have to say, if I could pick two, the Berserker and the current iteration, right? Because the current iteration represents me now, right? Like, clear speed, zoom, etc. Yep. And the Berserker represented me more when I played hardcore. Like, back at that era, I know that's literally backwards because it's a Berserker, but you would just stack life, and there were so many more life nodes back then on the tree, so it fit much better. And then the ring would instantly kill all rare and blue monsters because they were a Berserker. So it would just fit perfectly.
Right. I need to check. I need to check out those videos. Are they on your channel, the Berserker vids? I might have to take a look. I'm curious. I saw you had vids back going like 11 years. So if it was during Harbinger League, they exist. So I might need to check that out. That just sounds interesting. Because one of the coolest, I don't know what build this is, but I really like the off-meta creations. Like, I've seen people do bow juggernauts in the past, or bow berserkers in the past before. And the entire concept just seems so cool. I've never tried it because I think you need a lot of currency to make stuff like that work. But just thinking of a spell-casting Berserker, which I think has actually been a reality ever since they added that helmet in the game.
Rage.
That you can get a rage helmet. I just haven't been able to try it. Like, it's such a cool fantasy, you know, just stacking rage and getting lots of spell damage. It's that same sort of concept, like you said, just going full red. I like that. Absolutely. I really like that idea. Yeah. Okay. Now that we have the dissertation on Righteous Fire and Path of Exile 1 Pox, we know that Righteous Fire is going to be in Path of Exile 2, but we know it's not it's going to be different, according to Jonathan.
Yeah, that's always
I haven't heard you. I've just heard you say it's going to be different. I haven't heard you say what you think it's going to be. Have you done any speculation on how you think they might be changing it?
So, okay, so they like stuff to combo together. Like, this is factual. Now, whether or not they continued on this road or not, we'll find out in the next big update, right? Let's be fair.
Right.
I think at the very least, it will be a spirit gem. Like, I think it for sure, it starts as a spirit gem. And I think for two reasons, okay, maybe only one reason, that's okay. There's not enough spirit gems in the game for, like more things, right? Like, the reason you run heralds right now is not just because they're overpowered. It's because there's also nothing contending with it. Like, there's just nothing, right? You know, if you're playing an invoker, that's different. You've got, like, 15 different things you can do. But, like, other builds don't have as much. So I think it comes out also with Templar, just because, you know, like, themed around that. I think it's going to come Righteous Fire, right? I think it's also, it's still going to do some type of degen. 100%. They did say it's still going to be a ring of fire. I'm hoping it's not like a persistent buff. And if it is a persistent buff, I want it to be I want it to be strong. I don't want it to be current RF where like you need to use 32 different mechanics to make it actually do damage. I want it to be like its own, you know, like you build up an ignite maybe or something, right? And then it triggers like a giant righteous fire. I mean, I don't think I want that, but I think I would just like a classic version all over again. The main thing I would say that I don't want, and I'm hoping they remove this, I don't want it to be tied to the spell damage multiplier. Like, I want it to be its own identity, or at the very least, an identity within fire spells. Because the issue with PoE1 is Ignite doesn't scale off spell damage. So you're like, okay, but I run RF, so what do I run? So you run Fire Trap because it scales the Burning Ground, right? So that's why it's a weird scenario. So hopefully in PoE2, it has, I want to say, more identity to it. So spirit-based, not have spell damage multiplier. Maybe something cool and holy, too. I don't know. Like, maybe it triggers, like, consecrated ground. Or I don't know. Something cool. Something unique. Something that makes it cool, right?
What if they just take the rare magic monster modifier periodically explodes fire and put it on characters?
And you would just consistently, like, pop?
You just pop over and over.
Yeah. I mean, I actually think that would be a cool skill. I do.
Wouldn't it?
Because then what you would do is you would sync your duration scaling and your frequency, right? Because they have actually something like that. Voltaxic Burst in PoE1, I think it's called. You basically cast it, and then it, like, emits off of your character, I think. So you try to get to a rhythm where you cast it and then you run to the pack and it shoots out and kills. So I mean that'd be kind of cool. I don't know if I want that for RF, maybe just a side skill. Fire does need some love right now. It would be cool. Think about it. Like you stack duration, you stack cast speed, and you like get ready for a boss fight and you just spam caster on yourself, and then you like run into the boss fight and you just like spam goes off. I think it would be something kind of cool.
I like that. I like that idea. There's also the unique in Path of Exile one from, is it Ultimatum, where it gives you the skill where you pop blood off yourself. Now that's what I'm thinking of.
Relic of the past. I know what you're talking about. It's like the blood explosion that takes from your max health, or like it reserves and then casts it or something. I think
it's some super complicated stuff, but it looks really cool.
It does. Right? You watch like people play it, and their health bar is like, and they're like, "Are you tanky?" And they're like, "Well, most of the time, there's just this rare dead." Oh, okay, yeah, that's the occasion.
Yeah. It's gonna be really interesting to see what they do. And now that we have a paladin in Path of Exile 1, I'm curious if they're going to go with that aim for Path of Exile 2 as well, because they've just said, you know, oh, we're not beta testing for Path of Exile 2 with PoE1 ascendancies or the map system. I really wanted them to go all in for a paladin in PoE2, you know,
for an ascendancy. I actually thought for sure that paladin was going to come in, especially when we saw flails being teased.
Yeah.
Like I think one of the ascendancies has to be a paladin. I really do. And you know what? I'd love to play a paladin righteous fire build. I have absolutely no complaints with that. Like whatsoever. That sounds really cool. I want to be the guy like up close. I want to have my shield. I don't know if the flail would be something that I would use, but it would be cool if I would have the flail too. And then I have like the massive ring around me. I don't know. I think it would be pretty cool.
Good fantasy. Really good.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean. That's that, and I think PoE2 is somewhat going for that. Like some, like they definitely have some element of class fantasy for sure.
I want the paladin, okay, and then with flails, and then I want the Witch King of Angmar with flails. Because when I think of flails, I always think of him using that giant war flail in the third movie, Return of the King. Like I want some great ass flail that we're using in PoE2. Some two handed stuff. I actually saw in PoE2 DB. All of the flails and swords and spears, all the base types are in the game already. You can actually look at all the pictures and what they do. I didn't even know that.
I wouldn't doubt that because I found a trap from Ultimatum. I found a unique item that's like, it says like not available yet or something. And you can hold it in your hand and you can see it like on the character. It's like, it looks like a clay detonation device that you would like throw.
Does it give you a skill or no?
No, you can't see anything from it. Yeah, it's just, it just shows like it's not completed, but it's a unique outline and you can just equip it and that's it.
Ooh, interesting. Speaking of that, what weapon are you most excited to come in Path of Exile 2? Is there one that you're really looking out for?
Spear. Is that what's coming out with? So one of my first character, well, really successful characters when I played Path of Exile Hardcore was in Invasion League. And I played a melee ranger. There's no ascendancy back then.
Ooh.
And I loved it. I like went hybrid with armor and evasion. And I went, you know, I was level like 92 or 93 in Invasion League. And I just loved that fantasy. And then I think like Raider came out. But I didn't really want to play it anymore. It didn't feel as tanky as what you could normally play, right?
Right.
But now they're getting a fresh start with that like kind of bruiser right side of the tree gameplay where I'm hoping Huntress is going to have one ascendancy that fits that theme. I think it would be really cool because I like that, right? Like you have the difference. You have like the agile assassin, then you have the duelist who's kind of in between. And then you also have the huntress who I think is going to be like a mixture of like the duelist, but more focused on maybe mobility rather than, you know, I guess like a whatever duelist would be focused on 1v1ing. I have literally no idea.
Yeah. It feels like it would really fit into the current meta of Path of Exile 2, which still is quite speed focused. As well, with the spear and weaving into melee gameplay, popping packs, and maybe having that ranged option too. I'm really curious to see how much the Druid and the Huntress have changed since their initial showcases 2 years ago. Because since 2023 and that initial Druid showcase, we've not seen basically anything. And we know that they've undergone the WASD revisions. We know that they've made so many changes to the core game itself. And obviously they were not pleased with it because it didn't release with early access, which leads me to believe it underwent some significant changes.
Rebalancing of some type. Yeah, right. That's a good thing to make.
I'm really curious to see what's going on.
The shapeshifting looked good when they teased it too. It did look really seamless, like the way they kind of did it.
Yeah. We know there's three forms coming. We got the bear, the wolf, and the mystery form. Do you have any speculation on what cool form we could be looking for?
So we've got bear and wolf right now, right?
Those are based... I think wolf is 99% confirmed, but bear, 100%. They couldn't
remove
the bear.
Like a, what if it's like a turtle and it's built on bark skin? Ooh, and has horns.
So good. That'd be
I don't know. It's something cool. For sure, I think the three druid ascendancies, though, is going to be like a shapeshift, elemental caster... Because there's not, I feel like there's still a lot of spells missing from, like, in general, spirit-based things as well. So I'm thinking, like, Druid is going to help with that on the elemental side. And then I think they're going to have, like, Zoo Druid, like a summoning one, for sure.
Ooh,
and we see like a companion Druid, whatever you want to call it. I think for sure it's going to have those three.
That's the one that I am most looking forward to, Pox. And if it's bad, I'm going to be so crushed.
Druid like, Hunter's
I'm hoping
Templar.
It's Invoker tier. That's what I'm hoping.
I mean, they just need things to feel more complete, right? And people will be a lot more... I mean, people are satisfied with the game, right? It is a good product. It's just when you compare it side by side with PoE 1, it will definitely, you know, you will start to realize things, and it just needs more time, right?
Yeah. Now, we basically talked almost fully about Path of Exile 1 during this. Going to Path of Exile 2 for just a little bit, I watched your review on it, and I thought it was very fair. Now, some of the things in your review, they addressed if that patch that released later in the week. I don't know if you continued playing after you released that and you tried out, for example, the new towers and...
Just a little bit, yeah.
Just a little bit. How did you feel about the update that recently came out and about their message, specifically, I guess, about towers and saying that, okay, the problem with towers is that there weren't enough layouts wherein... A lot of the community actually was saying, well, towers just feel kind of pointless. It's not about the layouts necessarily for a lot of folks. It's about the content inside the towers and then how the towers are used in the game and how they incentivize stuff like, okay, I'm going to run all the bad maps and then I'm going to use my tower on good maps. I don't do that, but it sounds like a lot of people do that. I could not fathom running all that stuff.
I don't like the tower system at all. Okay. So when the tower system first came out, I was under the, I didn't really know what to expect. It was cool. Yeah. You know, you find five towers, you're like, all right, it's pretty cool. You put your tablet on, woo, I got a bunch of breaches. That's pretty nice. And then I was like, well, I kind of don't like this. Cause like the layout's kind of weird. And it's like random. I don't feel like I'm navigating. There's basically no mobs in here. Like I feel bad now when I run a tower, like I literally feel bad. Like there's, I don't even want to use my high level map on the tower because I'm not getting anything out of it. So now I use a low level map on the tower. Okay, well, what is the point of running the tower? Oh, well, the point of the tower is so that you put the map in and then it expands the vision so you can see where the citadels are. Oh, okay, that's pretty cool. Next update launches. You can now see citadels in the mist. Oh, okay. So then, you know, well, why do I run the tower now? Here's four more new tower layouts. All right, thank you, GGG. Like, I will say the graphics and the visuals are pretty nice, and it was a streamlined experience, and it was fun, but then I ran three of them, and then I'm like, okay, so what's the point of this? Why can I not just, like, discover the tower and then not run it, and I just discovered it, and then I just put the tablet over the discovery and then activate it, and maybe you bring towers back a later time, because there's clearly some other things that need to be kind of revised right now, and I mean, I know that game development is not exactly that easy to go about in that direction, but people are definitely confused because the way the updates are coming out don't really make sense for the people playing, right?
Right.
Like in the in the player's eyes, they've played now for 2 months and there's no map tab. So what does that mean? So there's no map tab, and normally, you know, it's early access, and it's like, you know, the only solution or the only thing I could possibly think of is the whole entire endgame system is being revised. And they're not going to devote assets on making a map tab for an outdated system that they're going to redo. Otherwise, does it really take 2 months to make a map tab? Like, that's kind of crazy, right? Like, nobody's hating. It's just, this is a very important core element if you want people to keep playing. And they clearly want people to keep playing, right? So it just feels like it's something that should have been addressed, but it hasn't been. And the longer they wait and don't say anything about it, the more people speculate. And it doesn't help because they have been silent a little bit in the past of recently. So definitely some things are just confusing, right? And I think that everything is just internally still on fire regarding PoE2, right? There's just so much that needs to get done in such a short amount of time, especially because they gave that timeline of 6 months to a year, which I think they should add like a zero at the end of both of them. You know, that would be much more realistic. Uh-huh. It's going to be at least, I don't know, 2 years, I think, at the minimum before
that's
it gets
my gauge.
Into like,
yeah. I think and 2 years.
I think there's nothing wrong with that as long as they go back to original development plans and don't keep neglecting PoE1 because people really love the game. And you don't have to go back to like four leagues a year. You can go stay on three leagues a year. Or maybe if it really has to be two leagues a year, but a really aggressive event cycle, like bring back the old race environment or the old racing stuff, right? Where people can log in and they can do Endless Ledge for an hour and Descent Champions and a bunch of short-term stuff for everyone that they can involve. And not like it doesn't have to be a new league all the time. Now, GG, if you're listening to this, please continue on 3 a year. I'm not saying I want that, right? We obviously would prefer that. But, you know, I get it. Things change, right? But just don't neglect PoE1 for too long because the people do love the game.
I'm really curious, and I made a video on this recently, kind of talking about the original timeline of Path of Exile 2 and how it's been delayed. And they said 6 to 12 months, EA, that's not going to happen. That was the conclusion of the video. But the more I've been thinking about it the past few days, I'm wondering, what is the point of giving themselves a time frame in early access? Why not just do what they've almost always done, kind of, and just work on Path of Exile 1 and work on Path of Exile 2 and just say, when it's ready, it's ready. Why are they say, because I bet it's putting a fire under their asses thinking, oh my God, we said 6 to 12 months and Jesus, 2 months in, we've done no major content updates and now we pissed off all the Path of Exile 1 community. I don't know, conspiracy theorists, and you are conspiracy theorists because they're usually hands off. A lot of people I've been seeing are saying it's Tencent telling them they have to do that. I don't think Tencent gives two shits about what Grinding Gear Games is doing because they are making a crap ton of money. So much money, you guys. That is all Tencent probably cares about. And they're going to let GGG do whatever they want, right? They have, I'd guess, almost complete autonomy over everything they do. So I'm really curious if this Pox revolution, whatever you want to call it, with your private league and the legacy
of
Frisia.
Yeah, everyone gives me too much Frey.
if this will like wake them up and they'll be like, okay, all right, let's reevaluate everything. All right, let's refocus. We're going to be okay. Let's just be transparent. Let's be open with the community. Let's work on both games and let's just try to have the best of both worlds, right? Because one of the sad things that I think has kind of happened is, you know how everybody always spammed D4 bad in the PoE community before or after D4 came out? Well, now it's PoE2 bad. And I'm like, it's PoE. PoE2 out of 10, you know, that's the
people are telling me, they say the emote didn't age well, and I'm like, it's fine. No. It's just, you know, it needs help right now, it needs some work, it's an early access. Genuinely, like, to be fair, I think when you take PoE2 and you compare it to its competitors that are not PoE1, I like PoE2. Mm-hmm. And the minute I compare it to PoE1, I'm like, okay, when I look at them side by side, PoE2 is clearly an early access, right? Like, mm-hmm. It needs time. So yeah, it definitely, you know what I think happened, and no idea, right? So
found off
Chris Wilson from Grinding
the Speculation Podcast. Okay, here we go.
he used to be, you know, present all the time throughout all of this stuff, and I think internally, you know, I don't know exactly what's going on, but I think maybe he's not managing much or stuff in that department anymore. Because it feels like the communication has changed the past year, maybe 2 years. And I think Jonathan is in the seat there and is definitely overzealous and was unaware of, you know, all of the issues that basically follow with not only just, you know, trying to release two games, but just maintaining the current one, right, with how popular it is. And I think that, you know, when you're in that position, it's very easy to make a lot of wrong choices that you think are right, right? Like, it's not something you can foresee, right? When it comes to whether it's server capacity, release times, the way you talk to the community, what you say, what you're not allowed to say, what is scripted, what is just you speaking freely. But the thing is, at the end of the day, no matter what anyone says, that man has so much passion for the game. Yes, we can all meme on him that he is obsessed with the campaign and thinks the campaign is great. So when you talk about Endgame, he's like, what are you talking about? The campaign is great. I'm doing my rotation right now. I'm stunlocking this boss with my warrior. I timed my perfect strike. My buddy's in the back throwing grenades. Like, you know, to him, the game is in a great spot. He's not wrong. For the campaign, it is in a great spot until it starts picking up towards later. And I think the problem is, you know, with this new shift of management, I'm guessing, just comes a lot of rough patches. And we're in like a really big rough patch. And I think what happened of recently, maybe, and again, no idea, I think that maybe he didn't allow the people to be as creative potentially as they wanted. And maybe he said, like, I want it to kind of align this way. And then I think what happened is he realized that's maybe not the direction it should go. And maybe it made sense at this stage of the game. But when you really get into Path of Exile's endgame, it just doesn't work that way, right? Like, right. It's not that people don't want to do a four-button combo. It's why would I press four buttons on a mob when I could left-click and shatter the screen? It doesn't make sense, right? And I love minimal button stuff, but I'll do something if it feels good. You know, if I can use a skill to wind up that doesn't take 3.5 seconds and is fixed to that animation time, stun the boss, and then do another skill and time it, and you hit the boss, and it takes like, you know, 70% of his life, anyone would do that. It's going to feel satisfying, right? But it's got to get to that point. And like Melee is not in that point right now because of the issue with specifically like two-handed maces and not having like two-handed axes. And I'm hoping that over time, it's going to kind of go back. And I honestly kind of feel like it's going this way because that's what I think happened when this privately kind of rose. You know, Jonathan was like, all right, this is a scenario we have. That's, you know, this is clearly a win for us right now. Things are actually okay. I want all of, you know, you X amount of people, go back to what you did best. Like, go fix POE1 right now, right? Like, fill in the void, make them happy. And then maybe hopefully that's happening to other people in the POE2 department, right? Or maybe he's saying, okay, maybe the game does need to change in this direction. Because it's, you know, you ask yourself, Neon, who is with Jonathan a lot, he's an endgame blaster. That dude plays POE probably more than me, right? So how could it be that the POE2 endgame is the way it is with him there, right? Like, that doesn't make sense. Do you think when Mark runs an augury map with 10 breaches and then accidentally misclicks a lever and dies because he's in stuck in animation for 10 seconds, he's like, okay? Do you think he likes individually picking up 232 individual splinters when you proc it in a 10 map? No, I don't think so at all, right? So I just feel like there has to be some miscommunication or disconnection due to the wildfire that's spreading right now. And unfortunately, it definitely happened before, but I'm hoping that's the issue and they're aware of that and maybe it's being taken care of, right? But this is all just a conspiracy, literally no idea, right? Boom. I just try to picture what would make sense to me, right? Because that's all you really can do as a person.
Yeah, I think you're totally on point there too. And the past 2 years, obviously, Chris Wilson has slowly faded and Jonathan has taken the forefront alongside Mark, especially. Mark kind of like, he comes in and comes out. Like, he'll come in for a few interviews and they'll step, which is like, come on, just get in there, man. I see you like these. I see you just go in all the interviews, right? Yeah. Jonathan is clearly learning. I remember at ExileCon 2023, just under 2 years ago, every other word, I mean, he was nervous as all hell. He was not super confident and he was like, you know, so excited and it was hard to get all the terminologies out there and hard to communicate with the audience. It effectively is the meme, right? He likes to say effectively a lot, right? Oh. He has improved massively in communication. Now, I think he's also taking that Chris Wilson role, like you said, management-wise, and he's learning, okay, bad decision here. All right, good decision here, right? And it's going to be a learning period. I think you're totally right. I think right now will be the rockiest period ever for Path of Exile 1 and Path of Exile 2, and hopefully we move through it. And both games are better for it. I really hope that happens. Another thing, too, that I keep trying to highlight, and it's super speculation. In November, Grindinger Games put up 2 LinkedIn posts because, you know, I follow them on LinkedIn for my in-real-life job. And for senior producers, which are basically project managers, senior project managers who manage timelines and communications and all that, for Path of Exile 1 and Path of Exile 2. So what I hope happened was they're in the process, New Zealand has arduous hiring laws, of getting 2 people in there that are going to come in. They're going to say, all right, these people are working on Path of Exile 1, and Jonathan, they're not moving, Okay, you can't do it. It's set in stone. And these people are working on Path of Exile 2. And here are the timelines for the next PoE 1 expansion. Here's the timelines for the next PoE 2 update and stuff like that. I think that'll go so far now that they have two games. Because now that they have two games, if you screw up one's timeline, it affects the other, and then it just keeps ping ponging. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. So
that's you're 100% right. Yeah, you know, like, I never thought this would be a problem until it started happening, and then I'm just like. I love PoE 2, but when you delay PoE 2, then you delay PoE 1, but then you're not working on PoE 1 because you're doing PoE 2, which means PoE 1 is still delayed. When can I play PoE 1? Right? So that's, you know, like that's what happens. And it's like, oh man, like why? Why did this have to happen?
Right. Yeah. 100%. It's going to be a really interesting period, man. I'm glad that we have such a passionate community. Sometimes. Absolutely. Sometimes it can be a little frustrating, I won't lie. Like, I come from Dota 2, that community. Man, they're passionate too. You did?
Yeah. Warcraft 3. Yeah,
before Warcraft Dota 2. 3. Okay, see, I'm a baby. A Dota baby. I started playing Dota 2, went 2013 to basically... Okay. I mean, I've got 10K hours in that game. I have more hours in Dota 2 than I have in PoE by a magnitude of probably maybe...
I have more hours in Warcraft 3 than Path of Exile.
Definitely, yeah.
Absolutely.
Have you kept up with Dota 2 at all, or no?
No, never really kept up with much. Stopped playing, when did I stop playing? I don't remember who got released. I mean, it was 2009, 2010 maybe I stopped playing.
Wow, okay.
See? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I played when it was OG on Warcraft 3, right? Like,
with Ice
I'll give
Frog
you an example.
Patches.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
When I played Warcraft 3 Dota, wards weren't meta yet. It was a glorious time.
No ward gameplay.
That was not a thing.
Crazy. Did Invoker still have like 300 spells?
Invoker would just sunstrike your ass. People would just say, report him for map hacking, you know, just get him out of here. And like the noobs who were new to Dota, like, you know, Invokers would farm and then they'd rush Radiance and then they'd go Ghost Walk and they're like, what is happening to me? I'm just dying. What's happening? You know? No. Oh, I was Pudgeon Techie's main, but I was like not a troll. I was very aggressive. Very
I'll cut that in post for you, so nobody hears the techies part.
No, Jesus, you don't hear. You know, I can even roll it. So when you play techies back in Dota 1, he had like Stasis Ward. It was an 8-second stun or 7-second stun. You would place landmines on runes, but then you would put a ward where the landmine is. So then someone like DK, he'd be like, "Oh, I'm just gonna buy a blade mail and run over these." So you know what I would do? You had a Lul Scepter in Warcraft 3, which then cyclones your character, makes you invulnerable. So now they run over the mines. You're invulnerable. You can't take reflect damage. They die, or you take Force staff and you aggressively get them because they buy a gem for true sight and they can see the mines, so they try to walk up and then you catch them off guard, you force staff them, then you sheep them, detonate your mines, allules them after the sheep, drop a stasis ward, they land the stasis 6-second stun. Techies was a monster in Warcraft 3 Dota.
Dude, it sounds like you stopped playing yesterday, and it sounds like you stopped playing Dota 2, because people do that in freaking Dota 2, man. Okay?
This was Warcraft 3, yeah, and then you get Refresh Orb, you do it all over again. You're like, oh, okay, that was fun. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's lame. Yeah, you just wave clear with just RD. You just drop the mine, detonate from 1,000 range, and the whole wave's dead. I don't know how the meta is in Dota 2 now, but in PoE, or sorry, in Dota 1, it was very different, so...
Oh, yeah. Dude, the meta has changed so massively. The game, it's unrecognizable from when I stopped playing. I just watch pros now, essentially, like the International and all that. But yeah, it is. It just keeps getting more and more complex. They keep doubling down on the complexity. I swear, dude, it's wild. So,
okay. You're gonna have jump scares. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I saved this for the end, man. And I don't know if it's appropriate, but I'm just going to fly with it. I got to ask you about your hair. Is it in the family? Like, what is going on, man? The picture of the thumbnail. Somebody said, I couldn't find a less flattering picture of you, but your hair is like heavenly, dude. And I was calling you the savior of PoE1, and it kind of looked like, you know, better Jesus hair. So I was like, it's perfect. It's so perfect. What is going on? Like, how long have you been growing that out, dude?
It's crazy. Oh, boy. So let's see. When I was in high school, I was in AFJ ROTC. So they made me shave my head. That's junior Air Force. So I shaved my head. I got like a buzz cut. I hated it. So I grew my hair out. So I grew my hair out from 2011. That's when I graduated. Till about 2020. And then I got dreads. But I didn't get dreads like most people.
Okay.
My dreads just happened naturally. I just stopped taking the knots out of my hair. So then I had dreads. So I had dreads down, you know, close to like my ass, like the midsection of my back. And then I said I didn't want dreads anymore. So I watched like 17 Netflix TV series and just combed down my dreads because I could do that. Took a long time, took my dreads out, and then my hair doubled. Like, I don't know what happened. It just grew in like crazy. And if I had like one of my hair ties, one of my good hair ties, I could show you some hair tricks. I can try to do with the current one. It probably won't work. Let's see.
Holy shit, you guys. It's crazy. What is this hair? I can't. I don't know what to say.
I don't
say.
Think I can do it with this one. I got to get another hair tie.
Like, I can't even fathom taking care of that much hair, you guys.
It's not as good. Normally, like, I can do a nice hair turban like this. And then I can protect myself from the outside weather.
What it's the not a problem hell, man? At all. Dude, you've got yourself a hat. That's so crazy.
Yeah, and then you could just flip it, and then it's gone.
That's crazy. Man, I can't imagine having that much hair in my head. Like, when I grow my hair out maybe to like here and I get a haircut and I go on a, like a run after, it feels like I've lost like 10 pounds. I swear to you. I can't imagine. Crazy.
Yeah. If I'm ever in the water, it takes me like an extra second because I got, you know, like if I'm, you pull your head out, it, no, seriously, like it, like, okay, I have so much hair that when I dive into a pool, you know, you like dive in a pool, you're underwater for like 10 seconds, you come up, my hair looks dry because the water is like soaking into my hair. There's just so much. I have to clean the shower after every time I take a shower.
Really?
I just snake the shower. Oh yeah. My hair does not like, it's also very strong and extremely curly. So it just doesn't break. It just stays there. Like it'll destroy vacuum cleaners. You know, like the whole bottom side will just get rolled with my hair. Like the vacuum just won't work. You gotta like, you know, take the scissors and cut it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. No, I have to do that with my cat's pox. My cat.
Do that with my hair. So.
Oh, that's so good, dude. I'm jealous. I wish I had like naturally curly hair, but my hair is, it's not. It's just like short and it, when I sleep it and I wake up, it's all like crazy, but it doesn't look cool. It's like, just looks stupid. So. I just thought of a new, a sub like alert for you. Mm. You should do for like, you know, 50 gifted subs or something. You know, those photo shoots where girls will, like, get out of the pool, you know, like, oh, you know, 50 gifted subs. And it shows you just getting out of this pool and going like, oh, like that, oh, you know, no. With your hair. I mean, you might just be get 50 gifted subs for days, dude. Like, just to get that on repeat. Like, that's good.
Spam.
That's the
money,
only
Rich.
Place in the internet where you can find it, too. Like, no video. It's just when you give 50, 100 subs, you know?
You just got a short gif.
Yeah, just very short gif. All right, man. Well, this was so much fun. I'm sorry for going a little over an hour.
Oh, that's okay. I didn't know how long it was going to take. So
we just, man, it was fun.
Yep.
Did you have anything else you wanted to chat about with the chat? It looks like DM rated us. So thank you, DM. Anything
oh, I didn't
else
even know.
Chat about? No, I didn't either. I just saw on my Twitch. I just looked over here. But thanks, Darth, if you're still in the chat. Any other things, Path of Exile 2, Path of Exile 1 related, you wanted to chat about?
I have no idea. I mean, feel free to shoot away if you got a topic that you still want.
Let's see. What would the spiciest thing be that we could end the podcast on, man? Huh. What is your hottest take about Path of Exile 2 skill design? Because I know you mentioned earlier that we're going to wait for point 2. See if they are serious about this whole combo gameplay or if they are going to just freaking forego it and we're just into the, okay, you combo a little bit in the campaign and then an end game. Oh, you're blasting. You're blasting like Path of Exile 1. You know, you're spamming your Ice Strikes, your Tempest Flurries. You're hitting that bell every so often. But after that, nothing. Do you think, what's your hot take? Because that was pretty hot in my opinion.
I mean, so like... You mean like my issue with spells or like how I feel about them in general? Like, what do you mean exactly? Like, what, be more specific on the question.
Ooh, otherwise, you're asking I'm just me to gonna narrow my approach. Okay.
Yeah. Otherwise, yeah, I'm going to
yap. Okay. How about what is your biggest issue? Not with maces. That's easy.
You can do spells. So you can do biggest issue with spells, like overall.
Let's do, yeah, biggest issue with spells or skills. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So we'll talk mainly on, let's start with fire and ice. So I play Blood Mage. I don't want to talk about Blood Mage. That would have been a great one, by the way. Ask me about class design. Oh, boy. So anyway, talking about fire skills. Fire skills felt really lackluster. And it wasn't just fire. Like, when I play PoE 1, I equip a skill and I use it. I'm like, wow, that's cool. That wasn't my same experience with a lot of spells in PoE 2. Like, I would use it and I'm like, okay. Like, maybe it can feel good later, but like, Some of them feel kind of good and some of them don't, right? Like, Cold Snap felt really good on cold, but then I play fire and just a lot of the skills just didn't feel very good, right? Like, most of them didn't feel like this is a skill I want to use on a boss and spam, right? I think the first, I forgot which one it was, Ember Fusillade maybe was the first fire one I found that was like, oh, in the early levels, like, this is actually okay, but it's kind of weird at the same time because, like, where's, like, my AoE fireball that, like, hits? Oh, I need to be, like, level 55? Well, that makes no sense. Fireball. It's, like, one of the first skills you, like, fireball, right? Like, why is that at the end of the campaign, right? So playing fire skills just felt strange to me, especially like Flame Blast. Like, it was cool, but it was missing a lot. Like, it didn't feel worthy to use it. Not to mention the defensive layer issue, which ties directly into this. Why am I going to play the element of fire when I could play cold and freeze everything? Like, I'm not talking about what's objectively better. I'm talking about what feels good to play. If I'm going to sit here
and feels good.
Yeah. So like when PoE 2 was announced and we had the Mobalytics builder go out, I actually theorycrafted a really cool character. I called it a Bleeding Frostfire Blood Mage. And the concept is Blood Mage allows spells to bleed. So elemental damage adds towards bleed. And there was a support that made it so if you consume a freeze, I don't know if it's you guarantee an ignite or you guarantee a crit or you guarantee something. Okay. And I was like, okay, I'll do this with Flame Blast. So the goal is like I use a spell on my weapon swap 1, which is another topic. Right? I get the freeze off on the boss. And then I swap to my Flame Blast with, you know, the press of a button. I get this big, fat Flame Blast proc, you know, hits, consumes the freeze, guarantee ignite because it's such a big hit, rolls the bleed from, you know, the Blood Mage Ascendancy. And then on top of that, I guess that's an ignite, big hit, and then bleed, right? Like, none of that worked in paper. Like, it worked on paper, but not in concept. I was like, well, why would I do that when I could just play Cast on Freeze and drop a comment and one-shot everything? Right. Like, that makes no sense, right? So the whole elemental spellcaster just feels like it's not a full identity. When I played cold skills, I was like, oh, okay, Comet is really cool. But then I was like, why would I put any other skill on Cast on Freeze other than Comet? Like, there's no reason to put anything else, at least for the scenario I was in, right? Maybe I am missing a few things here and there, but that's what it felt like. Comet was the highest hitting skill. It had a nice area, and you could circumvent the cast time by spending more energy. So let me just do that, right? And then I was like, okay, well, how do I fix single target? You use Frostwall. And I'm like, man, that's not fun. Like, why do I want to put a bunch of Frostwalls and then detonate them? Like, I want to, like, hit the boss in the face, you know? I want to, you know, shoot a glacial shard that pierces through him and explodes on impact and freezes his bones and, you know, something cool, something fun, not like, and then drop a comet. And the comet's not even doing the damage. The comet is just exploding the Frostwall. And I'm just like, why? Like, that doesn't make sense to me. It felt incorrect. Like, I'm cool if that's an archetype, just not the main way to do single target, right? If people want that fantasy, that's fine. Like, I'm totally okay with that. Make it do more damage than my build, but make it so my build can at least compete with it, right? Make it so if it's doing 100 million, I can do 80 or 75 million. But I'm pressing, you know, less buttons and not trying to set up this Frostwall shenanigan and then blow up the Frostwall because it's just kind of whack to me, right? So that's where my comboing issue comes in. Because to me, if I asked you, you know, would you rather sit there and channel like an ice meteor that comes in from the sky, smacks the target, you can see like the dust particles like fly up from the impact and you just see the chunk in the health bar, or would you rather cast Frostwall 3 times and then use your vessel to explode them, right? Like, that's not this, like, that's a more of like a PoE 1 thing, right? You're playing like some weird spell slinger build that's generating something, but you can see that fits that archetype, not the current one. So that's just kind of strange to me.
I think that's a great point, and it picks on another kind of spicy topic. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. They've recently announced, and obviously they stopped doing balance changes until point two. And they said, hey, you know, we were doing this at first, but lots of people didn't like it. So we stopped. Personally, I think they should have gone all out and just kept smashing skills, balancing, buffing, nerfing, whatever. Just go in so that all these, like, heralds, everything is a herald thing right now. All attacks are heralds. Everything to do with cold is that, setting up the ice walls and exploding them to deal mega damage. I feel like you're going to, if they're going to go that approach and updates are going to take this long, I just don't like it. I mean, what are your thoughts on this? Do you prefer the waiting for the big batch, or do you want to see something more like an actual early access or beta where it's every week, every 2 weeks, here's the nerfs, here are the buffs, go hog wild, go for it.
I agree with Ben's approach here. I want them to just fucking annihilate everything. Like, because the problem is you are creating false expectation for players right now. Even if you tell the player base, this is not how the meta is going to be, but you allow them to play it for a month. When, you know, when PoE 2 rolls around with their new update, do you want to know the thing that they always said about PoE 1? And again, this was from Chris Wilson. You can never take power away from players. And this is why they don't add these special things to private leagues. Because then people will stop playing the main league and play a private league if they can get bonus drops and, you know, faster XP and all this other stuff, right? So why would you take the opposite approach to balancing in PoE 2? And sadly, I think the only logical thing to that is because of the numbers, right? They do like a patch and then they say, oh, people don't want to log in. And you know what? Yeah. Again, if you go by the numbers, you fucked up that time, GGG. When you make an update that really nerf cast on freeze builds and then don't add a respec, you know, like a free respec for players or reduce cost of respec, because in the same hand, Jonathan, I don't want to quote him incorrectly here. I thought he said that we don't want to make it too cheap to respec because then people are going to expect that when it releases. But then we're in the exact scenario with, you know, insert attribute stacker build or insert, you know, tap the screen Herald of Ice with the ring, or you play Herald of Thunder plus Herald of Ice on insert any build you want, right? Mm-hmm. Or you play a minion build and the only thing you take is energy shield nodes, right? And every build on the right side of the tree goes energy shield. Just kidding, left side too, right? So, you know, like this is not fun for very long. Like, it's fun for people because they've probably never played a game like that before. But for people who are used to a more aggressive balancing, like, it should happen. And that's why I'm hoping that they do this massive patch for 0.2. And then hopefully they say, like, okay, you know, maybe we go back on our statement, or maybe we will do aggressive balancing, but we won't specifically number tweak the specific skills, but we'll, like, do more balancing around the board, just not for specific stuff. You know, like, point, like, pick and choose maybe a couple things that you want to keep, but not everything, right? Especially if it's to the scenario now, because it doesn't feel good, right? It doesn't feel like when I run a breach and I play my Invoker Monk and I have that ring, you know, the pole, whatever it's called, the freezing ring.
Yeah, yeah.
And I literally attack a mob and you just hear this. And you know, you literally, like, you kill here and then it spreads and everything is just loot, right? And I'm just like, it's not that I don't want to play another build. It's like, why would I? Like, this is so crazy. I just literally take this wooden stick and I go, and then it just, why would I play something else? It's crazy. Fun, right? And take that away from me now before I get used to it and let me work for it, right? Like, that's important.
Yeah, I thought that was the best point of the entire Ben review video, was the, you are giving this to people for 2+ months. The longer they play it, the more used to it they're going to get. And when they come back, if they come back for point two and everything has changed, if they do that big balance patch that a lot of people are expecting and really wanting, they are going to be shocked. My friends are going to be shocked. I'm telling, one of my friends is doing that right now with a Nice Strike Monk. He's playing the build, you know, bouncing the heralds off each other, using that ring, and he's just one tapping. We do maps together, and I'm Tempest Flurry, and I'm not doing that. He'll just one tap an entire breach, and poof, they just fly all across the screen. I'm like, man, you better not get used to that, dude, because I don't think that's going to survive. And he's like, yeah, I bet it'll be fine. And I'm like, dude, You don't know GGG. It's going to get triple tapped, okay? It's the GGG classic, dude. He does not trust me, so.
The GGG triple tap, yeah.
He, it's his first Path of Exile game, you know? He loves it, but he doesn't know. He doesn't know what's coming. So, yeah. It'll be curious. It's early access, so it's not do or die, but man, that first patch is going to have a lot of shit riding on it for GGG.
Because I always take the side of GGG because they created this opportunity for me, and I genuinely, you know, think that they mean well, and they just make mistakes like everyone else. This has been a series of mistakes, and I'm hoping that they can correct that, and they've already taken some steps in PoE1, so I'm happy about this. But the PoE2 patch, that's got a lot riding on it, because I've been saying, you know, early access, early access, early access, because it is early access. But you still got to prove what you're doing in early access. And it doesn't help that they released right on the holiday, so then they took their vacation, right? And that delayed them some weeks, and it's a, you know, double-sided coin. You get more people in over the, you know, over the course of the holiday, but then you're not working on the game during the holiday. And if your game really needs more work, it's got to get done, right? Yeah. So for me, like, it's a very big thing for me. You know, I need to see the direction that the end game is going. I need to see the pacing of how they're going to set the game. Do they want everyone to play like a warrior, or do they want everyone to play like a shatter monk, right? Or do they want somewhere in between in there, right? Do they want all the warrior builds to go energy shield because armor sucks, or are they going to fix that, right? Like, these are a lot of, these are important, right? And then, of course, within that, you need to have the new classes that come out, because if you don't bring out the new classes, you're not completing part of the game. And the reason why that's important is because of balancing. Why does Invoker feel complete? Because it has the most varieties and avenues to build it, right? You can go CI, you could not go CI, you can go pure evasion, you can go hybrid with your armor, you could decide not to do that, and instead of going pure evasion, you could go acrobatics, right? Like, you actually have variety. It's not like, I play life build, I get armor, and I get some max res, and maybe one or two unique items, or one unique item, right? People need more, and hopefully this patch delivers it, right? Because I think that's what it needs.
Yeah. Box, 100%. I think that is a perfect note to end the pod on. Thank you so much, dude, for coming on. This has been an absolute pleasure chatting with you. We'll have to reconvene after that 0.2 patch, because there's lots of riding on it, man.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That'd be awesome, dude. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to stream a little bit of hardcore and probably go to bed, dude. It's been great.
All right. Have a good one, man. Thanks for inviting me.
You too. I'll talk to you later, Fox. Bye.
See ya.